this as well. Right. Okay. Good. Let's get down to this then. So, not working. Plug it in, take it out, put it back, do that thing, you know, that whole switch it on, switch it off thing that people do. Okay, over the last 3 weeks, we've been spending time talking about the life shape, the triangle. See what I did there? That's a triangle, just in case you're not. That's a square, circle, and a triangle. So we're thinking, boys and girls, about the triangle. And the whole thing about the triangle is that it's about our balance of relationships, okay? So the triangle itself is, oh, come on, work. So the first one really is about up, and that's about a relationship with God. And then the second one is in, that's our relationship with each other as Christian community. And the last one is out, and that's about our relationship with people who are not yet followers of Jesus. And so what we're wanting to do today is we're going to spend some time thinking about the out part of it. And the whole point about the triangle is this, that it's actually about helping us to think about the balance of our relationships in different areas of our life. Okay? So in other words, if we are going to be like Jesus, who lived in relationship with his Father, but also with the community of disciples and with those who didn't know him, then that balance is actually what we're looking for in life. And for many of us, oh, hallelujah, thank you very much. And for many of us, what we actually experience is this, that actually we're very lopsided. We spend a lot of time perhaps with God in terms of our relationship with God and worship and prayer, personal devotion, whatever, that might be you. Or we spend a lot of time with the church and we actually do lots of things in community, and that might be you. And others, we might spend a lot of time out of the church in relationship with those who don't know Jesus yet, and that might be you. But most people, what they're sort of saying is this, that actually what we need to do is we need to review our lives and we need to ask, are you in balance? Do you actually have a balance between these three elements of life? Because if we're going to be followers of Jesus, if we're going to do what he did and be like he is, then actually we need to think about balance in these three areas. So that's really why the first thing that we learn from the triangle is about balance and relationship with each of these three areas. And today in particular, we're going to think about how do we deepen our relationship with those who are not yet followers of Jesus. That's actually what we're thinking about today. There's a book that's been written by a guy who we know through the Forge Network, a guy called Kim Hammond. He's the international director of Forge. He's just written a book called Sentness. And one of the first phrases in the book actually talks about the fact that there is a real choice to be made in the kind of church that you join. There is, there's a choice. You can go to different churches. That is actually allowable, just to let you know. And you can go to different churches and you'll get different things. And what he's sort of saying is that profoundly there's a choice between two different types of churches at the moment. There's going to be a choice between a church which is focused on essentially what he described as a kind of consumerist approach to life, and one which is focused around the missional approach to life. And what he's saying is, actually, you can go to church where church is all about us. It's about what we get from it. It's about what we experience in it. It's about how well we do in terms of our worship, our teaching, our youth work. It's all about, you know, stuff that we get from it. It's the consuming of a product which we call church. And that is actually an experience that you can have. That's a focus that you can have. And that's a kind of focus that you can is available, where, you know, you just drop in, do your thing, and all the rest of it. It's part of, actually, an ungodly worldview, which actually says, you know, I am at the center of my world and I do what I want, rather than God is at the center of my world and I reorientate my priorities around his priorities. Because the second type of church that you can be part of, Kim says, is one which is focused on sentness. It's focused on us being those who are sent by God, missionaries, into this world. And actually what that's about, that kind of church, is about equipping and enabling us to go back out into the world and to be God's sent ones wherever we happen to be. And that's a choice which is available, I think, for each one of us as we respond to this word, as we respond to this teaching. It's possible for us to simply kind of go, well, that's interesting, but actually I'm not really wanting to focus on that. But I want to say very clearly that as a church, we are absolutely committed to the second of the two options. You know, we are not here for ourselves. We're not here to get what we get out of church. If that's it, then you are going to be so frustrated by being part of church here. Because actually, every now and again, we're going to go, right, changing course, going over here, woof! And you're kind of going, wait a minute, wait. I've got all this stuff over here that I like doing. Why are you changing? And we're going to go, because the lost are over here and we want to kind of go this way now. And you're going to go, and I'm going to go, we committed ourselves to being sent ones. We committed ourselves to being missionaries. We committed ourselves to being those who willingly do whatever it is that it takes to bring Jesus the full reward for his sufferings. That's actually what we are as a church, and that's what our focus is. And so, but there is a choice there, and you can see that. And actually, one of the challenges that I think that this whole thing of, you know, thinking about the out part, thinking about the, you know, the balance of relationships, that actually is about us, again, orientating ourselves around God's priorities for the world. So what I want to do as I begin to think about this is I want to actually read to you a well-known passage from Philippians chapter 2, and reading from verse 1 of Philippians 2. This is what it says. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If we're thinking about how do we actually deepen in our understanding of the out dimension of life, connecting with those who are as yet not friends of Jesus, how do we do it? We do it as Jesus did it. We do it as Jesus did it. There's a couple of words that I want to kind of use, which I think are helpful for us. First of all, Jesus was the one who was sent. He was the first one sent by God. He was sent from heaven to earth. That's what the Philippians passage says. He was the missionary to the world. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus. You want to know how you can relate to him? Connect with Jesus. That is what God wanted to do. And he did that because actually he knew that we need to have people who actually come to us, who actually are the sent ones, who come and who explain the gospel to us and who demonstrate the gospel to us and show these things to us. And that's what Jesus did. He was the sent one. He was the missionary. But the other thing that we learn is this, that he left behind the glory of heaven. He didn't come as the all-conquering, all-powerful God. He didn't kind of come as a remote, angry figure, judging us, telling us what to do. He came as a vulnerable, fragile child who lived amongst us for 33 years and who, as a result of being willing to get in amongst us and learn the language and be in the culture, actually helped people to connect with God in a way that they really could understand. And that word which we use, which is incarnational, taking on flesh, is also the way that we are to do this work of being out. How are we to do it? We have to learn to be like the people that God is sending us to. We have to learn to be, learn to speak their language. We have to learn to live by their customs. We have to learn to actually understand what life is like for them. There's a guy who wrote a book called Transforming Mission. He's a very famous missiologist called David Bosch. And he once said that the missionary journey is no longer when we cross the world. The missionary journey is when we cross the road. And actually, for all of us, we are now in a missionary context. We're now in a situation where the people, our neighbours, our next door neighbour, the people above us, the people below us, the people who live around about us, are actually the ones that we need to go and share the gospel to. We are to be sent to them, to the neighbours, our friends, our family, etc. But this is the thing that I think many of us forget. When we get into church, often what happens is we forget how to communicate to people who aren't part of the church. We forget what it is to speak to them. And so what God is saying to us is you need to learn how to be incarnational, taking on the flesh of the people that you're going to. That is why when Heather does Source events, she encourages us not to speak in a whole lot of Christian language. She talks to us and says to us, you know, learn how to speak in the way that the people who are coming to the spiritual fairs come, how they speak. Learn how to communicate in their language. Learn what it means to express the gospel in a way that they can understand. And it's important for us to do that. Again, one of the most interesting experiences we have when we do the Forge course is that we go down to Chester, and one of the exercises that the guy gets us to do that's down there is he gives us sometimes he gives you a pound and sometimes he gives you a fiver, but you know, depends how rich he's feeling at the time. And what happens is he'll give you some money and he'll say, what I want you to do is I want you to go and I want you to put a line on at the bookies. And some of us, that's not an issue because, like, you know, some of us, that's part of our life. We've done that in the past. That's not an issue. But for many of us in the church, if you've never done it, it's a fascinating experience of being completely out of your depth and not knowing what you're talking about. What do you do? How do you read? You know, if you go into the thing, do you go in and, you know, what do you do? Do you just run up and kind of go, I want £5 on whatever it was? You know, this week, presumably, it was the Grand National yesterday. Yeah, maybe that. Maybe, you know, you'll all be experts and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, but for me, I'd never put a bet on. I'd never actually been in a bookies until I went to Chester and I did this. And I walked into the thing and I thought, I haven't a clue what I'm doing here. And I don't know what to do. And I really don't understand. There's like lines and lines and books. You know, there's 328 Haydock and da 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 da, and then 7-1 and the bookies odds and all this kind of stuff. And I'm thinking I don't know what that's all about. And I definitely don't know how to put a bet on. I presume I just go and give the man the money and sort of say I want £5 on that one there. I presume, but I don't really know. And it was funny. I didn't actually win. I have to say I lost. But I went in and I kind of put the money on and I did the thing. And I came away from it, and I was like, and it's full of old men watching tellies as well, which I thought was strange. And again, I didn't know that. And I went in and I kind of did all that, and then I came back out again. And the point of the exercise was this: you know, we are of a particular culture. You know, in the church, we live in a particular way, and we do certain things, and actually, you know, and we need to understand that actually there's a completely different culture going on around about us. We think that actually, you know, missionary is like what we do, you know, overseas. That's not true. Missionary is genuinely what we do when we cross the street. Missionary is what we do when we go to the bookies or when we go to the pub or when we go to the gym or when we go to other things. Because we need to think of ourselves as those who are learning the language and the culture and the traditions of other people, and actually needing to do it intentionally, and actually thinking about, you know, what is good news for the people that I'm going to go to? Because that's the essence of the question that we want to ask. What's good news? What will good news look like for that person in the bookies, presumably to get a good odds and to win some money? I don't know. But, you know, it's this thing of we think that we actually get culture, but actually, you know, we don't. We need to understand that we are genuinely in a missionary context, and therefore we need to do what missionaries do, just as Jesus did. We need to live with that incarnational model that Jesus actually kind of taught us. So so I suppose I wanted to sort of say that by way of introduction, and then I want to just spend a minute or two talking about how do people come to faith. Because actually, if we know how people come to faith, that's going to be quite significant. So John Finney, I think that's all up there. Evangelism as a process, yes, thank you. So John Finney wrote a book on this called Finding Faith Today, a really helpful book actually, that really kind of did research. Basically, he did research on, he asked people, how did you come to faith? What was this process? And what he found was this. Traditionally, people thought that actually people came to faith by going to big events, like at Parkhead, where Billy Graham came along, and they all kind of, eventually Billy kind of went, you know, would you like to give your life to the Lord now? And all the people stood up and walked down onto the pitch, and that's how people came to faith. And what Finney found was that actually that's not how people come to faith predominantly. That's actually quite unusual, that most people come to faith over a period of time and as a result of a journey of discovering more and more about Jesus. And that actually, what he found was this, there was this kind of process that went on. It wasn't just about the one-off event. It wasn't just about the kind of time that you go forward and you kind of say, yes, I want to do this. Actually, what he said was, it's a process that takes a period of time. It takes a while for people to come to faith. Actually, they need a number of encounters or points where they actually really see God breaking in. And they talked about the fact that that using the language of journey with people is actually really helpful. So we talk about spiritual journeys. We talk about the fact that actually folks are moving closer to Jesus as they do that. And the thing is that actually what Finney discovered was this, that if we stop thinking about evangelism and sharing our faith as being purely about the closing of the deal, purely about the gift of the evangelist, the Billy Graham who can sort of say, come on down, then actually we realize that it belongs to all of us, because we begin to realize that it's not just about the person that closes the deal, it's actually about the whole process of how people come closer to Jesus. And so we move from an evangelist focus to an evangelistic community. We move to a place where actually all of us become empowered to actually participate in sharing the faith with others. Not because of the fact that we necessarily are the ones who can answer all the questions, not necessarily because of the fact that we are the ones who know how to kind of do the business and close the deal, but because actually at different points God uses us in different ways. And that's actually a really insignificant thing for us to hear. It's important for us to hear, especially as we think about, you know, how do we do the out stuff together. What Finney discovered was this, that it actually takes a while for people to come to faith. Talks about the fact that actually it was about, on average, from the point of first contact to conversion was about 4 years. He talked about the fact that usually in those 4 years, so in other words, there's a consistency that needs to be, you know, there. But in these 4 years, that actually usually there are at least 6 significant encounters or events where people encountered God in significant ways as part of an ongoing relationship with Christians. That's why it's important that we run things like, you know, the sort of the outreach fairs. That's why it's important that we do different things which we can bring people to, because they encounter God. That's why it's important for us to go out and to do things where we meet people and where we actually connect with them and where we perhaps we pray for them or we prophesy over them or we pray for healing or we do something. And as we do that, what happens is something happens. Does it necessarily bring them to faith? No, not necessarily. But what Finney said was this. One of those encounters will be the point where actually they get it. One of those encounters will actually be the significant one on the pathway, on the journey to coming to faith. And that's why it's important for us to pursue these things together. But they also said that 70% of folk who come to faith as a result of the friendship or as a result of a relationship with a friend or a family member who just simply walked with them. Relationships are at the core of anything that we do. If we want people to come to faith, then it's actually about knowing who we're in relationship with and actually, you know, nurturing those relationships over a period of time. Another guy that did a bit of work, again, is the Engel scale. Let me just show you this. You have the next one up, Diane? So the Engel did research, which basically kind of then helped people to kind of break down step by step the process of the journey from being absolutely resistant to God and not knowing anything about it, all the way through to the point where they discovered that they were interested, then engaged in the facts of faith, and then they came to the point of saying, oof, actually Jesus is calling me to respond to this, and then moving through that into a place of faith themselves. Again, all this stuff's on the web, you can find it easily. It's an interesting thing because what Engel did was he basically sort of said, here are the steps that people take. And so actually, as we think about our out, as we think about how do we help people to come to know Jesus, how do we connect with those who don't know him, actually what we're trying to do is we're trying to say, where are people on that angle scale? Where are people on that journey? Where are people? Are they miles and miles away? And if they are, you know, what we need to do is not to spend our time preaching at them and telling them the facts of the faith. What we actually need to do in the first steps is this. We need to help them to discover that God is good and Christians are okay. That's the simplest thing that we can do. God is good, Christians are okay, because they don't believe that. They believe that God is angry, distant, and, you know, sends floods and causes cancer. That's what they believe about God. But when we discover that God is good and Christians are okay, in other words, that we're not hypocritical, that we're not judgmental, that we're not these things that are all the things that they think that they are, then actually they take a step on the journey of faith. And that's the early stages of evangelism. That's the early stages of how people come to faith. And that helps us, doesn't it? Because it helps us to see that actually I'm not necessarily going to be the one that closes the deal. I'm not necessarily even going to be the one that answers all their difficult questions, but I might be the one that just demonstrates something of the goodness of God to them. I might be the one that shows some compassion to them. I might be the one that explains that actually they really are welcome. You know, we talked about this when we did the free hugs thing. The free hugs thing is purely about God is good and Christians are okay, if slightly strange. You know, because actually what it does is we say to folks as they come and they get a hug and all that sort of stuff, we say to them, we just want you to know how God feels about you, that he loves you. And that is a revelation for people, but it starts them on the process. It's an encounter, one of the six encounters, that helps them to actually come to faith in Jesus Christ. And if we can think about our friends, and if we can think about where they are on this angle scale, then actually it helps us to think about what is the appropriate way in which we can help them to take one step closer to Jesus. That's my definition of evangelism, taking one step closer to Jesus. How can we help them? Well, we can help them by actually thinking about this stuff, thinking where are they at, and thinking what is the thing that they need to do. So we don't invite people who are actually miles away from faith to an alpha course. Because an alpha course is full of Christian stuff. It's all about the content. But what we do is we invite them to the men's curry night. You know, because we want to show them Christians are okay. Or if they're, or perhaps if they are, we can have a conversation about that later. Anyway, but if they are, you know, maybe kind of further on, that they are ready for more of an engagement, more of a discussion. And so perhaps, you know, one of the things that really helps a lot of people is testimonies, books of testimonies. Christian books have an enormous power. People read books, you know. Tons of you read things like Run Baby Run and, you know, and what's the other one called, though? The other one? Yeah, Crossing the Switchblade. You know, I bet tons of you did. And actually, for some people who are kind of in that place where they're kind of moving from God is a bad person, you know, angry, distant, gives cancer, all that kind of stuff, and Christians are, you know, hypocritical and so on. If they've begun to move through that, actually what they need is some stories. They want to, because they want to be able to connect with us, with our stories. And so, you know, point them to websites. There's tons of really good websites that have got loads of stories on them. Give them books, give them podcasts, give them Christian music. Good quality Christian music, you know, that all of that kind of stuff, which help them to take a step closer to Jesus. And that then helps us because it moves us into this other thing, which is this, which is the angle scale, which is the kind of the whole stepping stone idea. Essentially, what you do is you kind of start on the outside where there's high contact, low contact, content things. So basically, just lots and lots of fun stuff that we do to serve and show that Christians are good and that God is okay, and, you know, and, or the other way around. And then we move it through and we do different things. And again, the thing that we want to do, and this is the thing, we want to learn how to actually do this stuff together. So one of the questions I suppose I would want us to ask is things like, you know, I'm conscious of the fact that there's like 13 different addiction groups in this center. There literally are hundreds and hundreds of people in that particular community. And I wonder what it would look like for us. What would it look like for us to create a stepping stone strategy to reach out and to bless and to share our faith with the guys who are in the addiction community? You know, what's a high content a high contact, low content kind of event? What is it that would actually be a process, a stepping stone process? This is the kind of way that we need to think if we're going to help people to take the journey towards Jesus, if we're going to be effective in actually doing the outreaching stuff. Okay. Okay, next slide, Dan. Thanks. So, two things. The church here has a very kind of clear sense that we have two callings on us. One is very local and one is translocal. One is bottom up, the other is top down. Okay? So I'm going to give you two things and two tools or ways of thinking about things, which are takeaway things, which I hope will be helpful for you as you go. And I literally do have a takeaway thing that I'm going to give you. How good is that? Okay? Yeah, can I pass them back? That's great. Thank you. So, on one side is the very local thing that you can do. All right? And that is this. How can we actually share our faith how can we share with people, with our neighbours, with people who are close to us, if we don't actually know their name? How can you love your neighbour when you actually don't know who they are? So this is a really simple, simple tool to get you engaged in the thing of moving out the way, okay? So what it is it's 9 boxes, and in the 9 boxes, one of them in the middle is your house. That's the one that's got the house in it, okay? That's just to help you. And then you have 8 boxes around about you. And in the 8 boxes around about you, what you do is you use this as a very simple thing. What you do is you just simply put down the names of your neighbours. And you can choose whichever configuration. If you live in a close, this will work probably better for you. But if you live in a tenement or whatever, it doesn't matter. Just work out who your neighbours are and decide which ones are going to be put in the box. And here's what we do. It's very simple. You just follow the instructions. First one is take some time to put their names in the boxes and then pray for them. And that actually might be a bit of a challenge for us, because for many of us, we don't know our neighbours' names. And we don't know the names of their kids, and we don't know the names of, you know, the people that live. So that'd be the first challenge. So that might involve a little scouting trip, which will obviously be, you know, middle of the night sometime, checking out the neighbours' names on the doors, if you have that, writing them down. Or maybe just kind of chatting the door or whatever. The second thing is, and this is the bit that's a bit more interesting, pray meaningfully, all right? Now, the only way you can pray meaningfully for your neighbour is actually if you have had a conversation with your neighbour, all right? So I had a conversation recently with our neighbour as I was helping her chop down her tree, and we were talking about just what's happening with her husband and different things that were going on. And so I said, oh, I'll remember that, I'll pray for you. And I just said that to her, and she said, oh, that'd be really good, thank you. So pray something meaningful. Discover something about their names. Maybe do that for a week or two. And then ask God to give you an opportunity to have a conversation. And just chat. And then as you do that, you don't need to say, I'm praying for you. You just kind of find out what's going on. And it might be that they say, oh, you know, I'm about to go for a job interview. And actually, it's not difficult to say, well, listen, I'm going to pray for you for that. And actually, they'll kind of go, oh, and they'll clock that actually you're a person that prays. And then the next one is, think of something that would serve them or bless them. You know, we live in a terrace, and you know, and I'm conscious of the fact that in the middle of the summer, the guys go away on holiday, and the grass really grows really thick and big and long and all the rest of it. And I just think, how easy is it for me just to organise to go and cut the grass for them while I'm away on holiday? That's not difficult, is it? That's a simple thing. But think of things that would bless them. Think of things that would be easy for them. Again, this is not rocket science, is it? It's not difficult. And then the next one is more challenging, though, isn't it? Eat or drink with them. If we're going to have fellowship with people, if we're going to connect with them, then why not? You know, why not just sort of simply say, you know, invite someone that's what you guys did recently. You know, invite your neighbours and ask them, just, you know, we're having some drinks tonight. Do you want to come down? And the key to that is invite some of the rest of your pals from church first. You know, get them to come, have a bit of a party atmosphere going on, and then if people come, then that's great. It's easy, it's not difficult. But again, This is how we begin to learn to love our neighbours. And then the last one is invite them. Invite them to something that's appropriate according to where they are in the Engel scale. Okay? So don't invite them to come to church if actually they're miles and miles and miles away from church. You know, this might not be the right thing for them. But actually, there are other things that we do that would be really good. And all I'm really trying to do is I'm trying to give you a tool in your hand that says, this is actually something that we can do. So I want to challenge you to take this and to fill it out and to get a magnet and stick it in your fridge door. And every time you open the fridge door, pray for them. Pray for your neighbours. Pray that you would learn how to love your neighbours. Pray that you would take the first steps in that. Really simple thing. The second one is, or the one on the back, is just is called the seven. It's called Reclaiming the Seven Mountains, and this is a piece of work which essentially has been done by a guy called Bill Bright. He did it a few years ago, and essentially what it's about is sort of saying, when we think about out, when we think about connecting, it's not just about the individuals, it's not just about the neighbours, it's not just about the kind of the folks that we're kind of closest to. This is where, if you like, our bottom up, top down stuff comes in, because this is the top down stuff. This is the thing of how can we, as a Christian community, impact and influence our neighbours, our community, our city, our nation for God. And what Bill Bright did was he basically said, here are the key areas of influence that actually affect other people in life. Here are the areas. So he talked about business, government, family, religion, media, education, entertainment. Interestingly, in other surveys that have been done, media and entertainment go together, and law or the legal side of things can also gets included in that, as does, and there's another one which is really to do with health as well. So this is one of the kind of the attempts at kind of looking at the kind of areas of influence. And I think that, I suppose what all I want to sort of say is this, that I think that as we think about the out, as we think about out, we don't just think about the individuals, we actually think about societal change. We're thinking about how can we bring in the influence of God into the community that we're part of, into this city that we're part of. And again, you know, the great thing is that there's huge godly imagination in this room. You know, you have some incredible folks here who have incredible ideas as to what to do. And I want to encourage you to think about all of that. And I'd love us to think particularly, I mean, I think one of the most obvious areas of influence that we have could well be around the area of health and well-being, because that's something that's on our heart. We've done that. We've spent a lot of time thinking about that. I'm conscious we've spoken about the fact that actually there's significant issues around particularly mental health in this area. And I just think, wouldn't it be incredible if, as a church, we could begin to have an impact and influence on our community that would diminish the kind of impact of poor mental health, for example, here in White Inch? What could we do together that would actually demonstrate the out, that would demonstrate the kingdom of God, that would actually bring the influence of God into key areas of our society? So, can I just summarize then? What I'm saying is, you know, as we think about the triangle, we're thinking about these balanced relationships, about God, about each other, and those who don't know Jesus yet. Do we have a balance in that triangle? Are we focused on one thing or maybe two more than the other? Is it that God's actually kind of bringing some sort of challenge to us as we do that then, that it's time for us to sort of see that change? And then, are we deepening in each of these three areas as well? And are we pursuing these three things? And the question, as always, that we ask is, in the midst of all of this, today, what is it that God is saying to us? What is it that God is saying to us? And what are we going to do about it? So, let's just be quiet and reflect on that for a minute or two. Jesus, we want to thank you that you are the sent one. that you are the one who put on human flesh, came amongst us so that we could see what God was like. We're so grateful for that, Lord, and we're grateful that you made it possible for us to connect with you and be in relationship with you. And Lord, we recognize that you've sent us. You've called us to learn how to be missionaries in this setting. Lord, we ask that you would help us to recognize just how we can play our part in helping people to take one step closer to Jesus. Lord, help us to love our neighbors. Help us, Lord, to know how to bring the influence to bear on our society. And as we do all of these things, Lord, we want to pray that you would receive the rewards for your suffering. We want to pray that, Lord Jesus, you would be glorified and honored. So help us, Lord, to be obedient to the thing that you've said to us today, and to go and to do what you've called us to do, and to be the people that you've called us to be. For we ask it now, in Jesus' name. Amen.